You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Why do so many of us focus better in the late morning but then feel so tired after lunch? Scientific studies point to circadian rhythms, the body's often ignored or unknown peaks and dips of energy, focus, creativity, and even flexibility. Sue Schellenbarger, the creator of the Wall Street Journal's Work and Family column, which has won 7 national awards since its inception in 1991, has investigated the current research on circadian rhythms in her September 26 column under the heading, "The Peak Time for Everything, Pack More in a Day by Matching Tasks to the Body's Energy." I'm very pleased to welcome her to our show today. Hello.
Hello, Leonard. Thank you.
Your article deals with the importance of the circadian clock. Isn't it a biochemical mechanism? How does it work?
It is. And scientists in the last 5 years to 10 years have discovered that the circadian rhythms actually are synchronized throughout our body, down to the cellular level. And that if our activities and functions are synchronized with the body's master clock, we get an edge that day. And we also are more likely to be healthy physically.
Well, how do circadian rhythms readjust to different time zones?
Interesting question. Light and darkness tend to govern those rhythms, and also our own internal habits of waking and sleeping can change them. If you travel, for example, it's often said that you need a day to readjust for every hour, every time zone you cross, and that gives your body a chance gradually to adjust when it wakes up and is at its peak.
Well, if circadian rhythms are mainly based on the influence of sunlight, how has the use of artificial lights affected natural circadian rhythms?
One of the most interesting patterns, most obvious, is the way our teenagers are staying up later and later. The presence of bright light in the evening can cause our bodies to want to stay awake later, and teenagers are more biologically vulnerable to that compared with the rest of us. They are very sensitive to nighttime light. So if your teen is peering into a bright computer screen or late into the evening, he or she is likely to stay up even later.
Is it does the body take a bit of a beating if you're one of those people who works nights?
It does, and a great deal of the research on this has focused on how to help shift workers get through their days, and much is being done to help them sleep in sheltered conditions, to try to basically readjust the way their bodies understand what time of day it is. Still very tough, and I think there's growing concern about the link between disruptions of circadian rhythms and such ailments as diabetes, depression, dementia, obesity, serious health concerns for shift workers.
Based on the research of Dr. Steve Kay of the University of Southern California?
He's among the leaders, yes. He and others are finding that the synchronization of the body clock at all levels, from the brain down to the cellular level, really does impact the development of disease or health. And so, yes, scientists are working very hard on this, and there's actually a fast-growing body of research.
We asked our listeners whether they're night owls or morning people, and they were pretty evenly divided. Is that true of people overall? Half of us are up with the sun, the other half could stay up all night?
Generally, Michael Turman at Columbia and others have found that about 70% of people have what is called a hummingbird schedule. Pretty normal, pretty middle of the road. You peak in alertness from, say, 9 to 11 or noon. You want to go to bed between 10 and 11 at night. And a minority are what's called larks or owls. And larks, of course, wake up very early and peak early in their energy, and the owls are on the other end of the clock. You can find a self-assessment to find out your chronotype at a website, cet.org.
Surprisingly, you explain that creativity is higher when someone is tired. Why is that?
This was counterintuitive. A study at Albion College found that when given two kinds of problems, analytical problems and those that required more creative thinking, people at their least peak times of day when they were more tired tend to do a better job of sort of original thinking. It may be because our resistance drops and we're more likely to allow our brain to go down sort of dark alleys and try new things, novel, divergent thinking. So it's possible that even though your cognitive peak is in the morning, you may do better on those creative tasks in the evening if you are a sort of a typical body clock.
Was that a factor in the second sleep that's often mentioned in pre-electric light literature?
I suspect that it was. I'm not familiar with that, but
people would go to sleep when it got dark. They'd wake up in the middle of the night, do a lot of their most creative thinking, and then go back to sleep and wake up when the sun came up.
I have read about that, and it's a fascinating bit of science. I suspect that is the case.
You explained that the late afternoon is the best time to exercise. Why is that? Don't a lot of people prefer to exercise first thing in the morning?
They do, and the long-distance runners can do this quite well. I mean, there's research showing that you tend to have more stamina when your body temperature is lower right after you wake up in the morning. So let's just withhold the, that finding for them. But generally, muscle strength is higher between 2 and 6 p.m. Most athletes agree that they perform best between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. Your lungs are more efficient, 17.6% more efficient at 5 p.m. than at midday. And your eye-hand coordination is better, and you tend to be more flexible. You're warmed up. Michael Smolensky at University of Texas Austin has written and researched this pattern. And it's one reason that many Olympic records tend to be set late in the day.
Now, why is our body temperature lower in the morning?
It's part of the circadian rhythm. The body temperature hits its lows during the night and begins to rise about an hour before we would normally awaken, and it rises through the day, holding a peak from about midday into the afternoon, helping us stay awake, and then gradually declining. And so the body temperature plays a big role in our functioning cognitively and physically.
But Dan Zarella, a social media scientist, suggests it's best to send emails and respond to them in the morning, despite the fact that our bodies haven't warmed up.
The digital universe has its own rhythms, and Dan Zarella has studied billions of emails and knows that if you send an email at 6 a.m., it's most likely to be read as other people are beginning to hit their cognitive peak when they would normally, say, read a newspaper between 8 or 9. So if you, the early bird gets the worm, get up early, send it out there so that when other people begin peaking, they will probably open your email. And I've had readers write me since the story ran and say that that actually works for them.
My guest is Sue Schellenbarger. She wrote an article for the Wall Street Journal called The Peak Time for Everything, Pack More in a Day by Matching Tasks to the Body's Energy. Dr. Robert Matchock, is it Matchock? Pennsylvania State University, explains that the ability to focus drops over the course of the afternoon. How does that tie in with this research about circadian rhythms?
He has found some interesting, very good empirical research he has done showing that we're more easily distracted between 1 and 4 p.m. when the brain, parts of the brain responsible for focus and attention get somewhat weaker, probably because they have simply passed their peak. So he found those are the hours we're more easily distracted, probably best then to do, the most intensely focused tasks. For the 70% of folks who are in the middle of the road on their circadian rhythms in the morning.
Does that mean that the approach in Spain to take a siesta in the middle of the day is better than working straight through in a 9-to-5 job?
There's plenty of evidence in all realms of science that the nap, the siesta, is a good idea. There's something called sleep pressure that builds up in the body, and it peaks around 2 p.m., right around the time, as Dr. Matchock found, we were more easily distracted. It's a great time for a nap. And then, once again, the circadian clock speeds us up in the late afternoon, helping us awaken and begin functioning again.
Where does adrenaline come into all of this? It's been my experience that I can feel dog tired, and then I have to do something. I pull myself together, and it's just as though I wasn't tired.
The circadian rhythms influence the release of adrenaline, and what you're feeling is absolutely a measure of your body's response. Body temperature, the body's sense of when it's time to be moving, sleep pressure goes down during the morning and the afternoon parts of the day. All of those things can help feed the release of adrenaline and give you more energy.
You also discuss the impact of eating on energy levels. Why is it so common to become sleepy after you eat lunch?
There is plenty of research showing that it's just natural once the body is digesting food just to get it a little sleepy. It's a postprandial lull. And that especially coincides in the afternoon with a sleepiness peak. And so those two factors together make that a better nap time. We don't necessarily get so drowsy after dinner.
Well, as somebody who broadcasts from noon to 2, I hope that people can hold off at least until 2 o'clock. You also looked at social media usage trends. For example, people tend to tweet happier messages in the morning.
Fascinating study at Cornell of 509 million tweets over 2 years found that the tweets between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. are the most upbeat. There are more happy, enthusiastic tweets and less negative, pessimistic, and angry tweets at that hour. And the researchers there, Michael Walton Macy, a co-author, said that it's because people probably simply are refreshed in the morning. It's, again, they're reaching that cognitive peak.
And then many of us have coffee or other caffeinated drinks in the morning. Does that have an effect on our circadian rhythms?
It has the same effect that releasing adrenaline does. It does help us get up and get going. A warm shower can do the same by helping raise your body temperature.
So you don't have to rely on caffeine. A warm shower will do it. And well, it also makes you clean.
That's right. It has social benefits.
Did any of the scientists you spoke to have personal stories about incorporating the results into their daily lives?
Each of them were quite sobered by the power of circadian rhythms to keep us in harmony with the universe around us or not. And while they were very measured and, you know, conservative in giving advice to others, there's excitement in the field now about the degree to which perhaps getting synchronized with the body's master clock can really help ameliorate disease, illness, all kinds of problems that plague our society.
Has anybody put together a chart that says 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., best time to send email messages, 9 a.m., whatever, and go through the day, exercise at 5, 6?
I think scientists are too cautious about generalizations to do that. We did illustrate some of those average peak times in my story, but scientists are always hasten to say individuals differ. Much of our chronotype tendencies are inherited, so they don't want to prescribe a rigid routine for everyone. After all, diversity is what makes life interesting. But there are certainly patterns that hold true. 8 a.m., write your tweets. 9 a.m., 10 a.m., tackle those tough tasks. 2 p.m., take a snooze. Workout late afternoon, and 9 p.m., kick back. Socialize a little online. Do some creative thinking.
What about watching television? Doesn't that throw the circadian rhythms into total chaos?
I think that if it's, tends to be bright light and exciting TV, it does keep teenagers awake, scientists say, late at night, and it could do the same for adults. It's not great for us to look at a brightly lit screen late in the evening. I didn't find anyone recommending that.
A couple of listeners have asked about the impact of hormones on circadian rhythms.
Oh, this is fascinating. When teens pass through puberty, the change in hormones has a big influence on their circadian clock, and it tends to move it much later. For example, the sleep hormone melatonin is released 1.5 hours later on average after a teen passes through puberty, which accounts for some of the strange behavior. Your teen suddenly becomes an alien and is awake when you're sleeping and asleep when you're awake. These systems all work together on a metabolic level, and scientists are only beginning to unwind some of the complex interactions.
Has anybody studied countries that don't break up into very regular time zones? That has an effect on somebody who lives in the far west as opposed to somebody who lives in the far east?
That's fascinating. I don't know if they have. I do know that chronotypes and circadian rhythms hold true across cultures, and that, for example, teenagers in all cultures are affected the same. But what you propose is a very interesting idea.
Have you tried to apply what you've learned in writing this article to your own life?
not only have I tried to apply it by taking more naps and trying to honor my body's natural desire to sleep, I've tried to encourage my loved ones to do the same and to get more sleep, my young adult kids. And I think there's much richness here for people to learn from. And a very good book out recently called Chronotherapy by Michael Turman. Michael Smolensky's The Body Clock Guide to Better Health. There's a lot of wisdom here just for living in a more healthy way.
Just one more question from a listener. The listener asks how the change in seasons and length of the day throughout the year change our circadian rhythms.
I think we all notice a sort of lull after daylight savings time is adjusted or as the days grow shorter. And this is a natural sort of fatigue. The body is trying to adjust, the cycles of light and darkness, as well as intake of food and body temperature, the heat, the temperature around us. These are all the signals that our body's master clock uses to adjust our behavior and our energy. So we do adjust. I mean, the human body will adapt and become comfortable, but it takes a while for those changes to take place, perhaps longer than we wish on our fast-packed daily schedules.
Sue Schellenbarger's column, The Peak Time for Everything, Pack More in a Day by Matching Tasks to the Body's Energy, was in the September 26th issue of the Wall Street Journal. Thank you so much for being with us today.
It's been a pleasure, Leonard. Thank you.